Let's read Matthew 1, 18 through 25, and then I'll pray. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, the power for salvation and for sanctification is not in my words, it's in your word. And every jot and tittle of your word in the work of your Holy Spirit. So I ask you to work now in all of our hearts together. I ask you to freshly open and unfold your words for us today. Fill our hearts with the joy of this time. Fill them with the awe of our Lord Jesus and looking and thinking again about his coming, his birth. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. And you be glorified in all of us and in all of this in this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ is the simple title of today's message. I just simply get it right from the text. In chaotic days of Christmas shopping and scheduling, there can be very little sense of any need to know much of anything about the birth of Jesus Christ, it seems. How easy it is for the reason for the season just, you know, slip to the back, to be put on the back burner, tucked away in the corner while we're so busy doing everything else that comes with this time of year. And I dare to say that only a minority of us care to study how his birth came about. Keeping Christ in Christmas is more than keeping his name attached to the holiday. I know you all understand that, but I dare to say that the majority of people around us do not. We must keep Christ in Christmas in serious consideration and joyful celebration of his birth. Most of the time, I'm not a Scrooge. Most of the time. Every once in a while, I have my moments, as my wife will tell you. But I'm all for good times with family and friends. But far too many people treat this holiday far too lightheartedly. Yeah, it might be Jesus' birthday, but in practice, Christmas is nothing more than a gift-exchanging, turkey and ham-eating, family and office party holiday, not a holy day for us to come and adore him. And that's really the call. Even among Christians, since Christmas was first instituted by us rather than Scripture, there is an ongoing debate as to whether Christmas should even be a holy day for us. It's debated among true Christians whether we should put any emphasis on the Christmas season. What is beyond debate, however, is that God does magnify the first advent of his Son in Scripture, in his Word. Specifically for us to come, let us be amazed by him. Come, let us be in awe of him. Yes, come, let us adore him. For that, moved by the Holy Spirit, Matthew wants his readers to know how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. as he came to be among us, as he came to be one of us. So in Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, we are looking at Mary and Joseph's unsettling situation, the angel's incredible consolation, Emmanuel's revelation, and Joseph's immediate consecration. So first, Mary and Joseph's unsettling situation in verses 18 through 19. We start there with Mary's untimely pregnancy in verse 18. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Try to imagine the situation then. Not from our perspective, from theirs. Put yourself in the moment with them. Put yourself in the room with them when it was suddenly noticed she's showing. After their pledge of marriage and before their consummation of marriage, it's very clear they had not consummated. Mary was found to be with child, which means she started showing and had some explaining to do. Since she was supposed to be a virgin, she knew what was happening because Gabriel had already told her. We see that in Luke 1, 26 through 38. You can read where he revealed to her God's plan. And she believed it by faith. For his own record, Matthew notes that the child was from the Holy Spirit, but whoever first noticed her growing little bump did not know that. Joseph did not know that. And Joseph had a decision to make, didn't he? Put yourself in his shoes. He walks in the room. Maybe he hadn't seen her for a few days, 2 or 3 weeks. They didn't live together yet. And he walks in the room and notices the belly. That leads to Joseph's ultimate plan. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. The classic Christmas carol asks, "What child is this?" Instead, young Joseph was asking, "Whose child is this?" When he found out his fiancée was pregnant with someone else's child, because he certainly knew, it's not mine. Someone else must have adulterously breached her sacred virginity because he never had. To him, then, she was suddenly just a pregnant teenager who had betrayed him with another man and who was conceived in her was just a child conceived in sin, both to be quietly but firmly sent away. And that was a merciful resolution on Joseph's part. Because Mary's perceived immorality would not have been winked at like it would have been in our day, like it is winked at every day. Joseph legally could have had her publicly humiliated, beaten, or even killed for her indiscretion. But as he no doubt mulled everything over into exhaustion, can you imagine the hard nights he had? A heavenly messenger patiently stood by, waiting for him to fall asleep so he could have his full attention and put his soul at ease with the wonderful news of how God was working. And it took an angel. Can you imagine? Joseph, looking Mary in the eye, saying, what is this? And Mary saying in turn, God did it. Would you have believed her? No. It took an angel. It took the angel bringing him and giving him this incredible consolation in verses 20 through 21. Starting with the immaculate conception of this child, verse 20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The baby is not a sinful, immoral conception by an unholy man with an unholy woman, but a supernatural, immaculate conception by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Now, if you want a perfectly practical, pragmatic explanation of how the Holy Spirit conceived a child in the womb of this young virgin, you will just have to search in vain, because we don't have one. Okay? You either must accept Matthew's clear statement of the miraculous here, or reject his testimony as absolute nonsense. Guys, there is no middle ground. There is no way to reconcile this with the scientific method. Okay? So, for those that want to cut the supernatural out of the scriptures, you just throw the whole book away. This is a supernatural work of God that we cannot explain. And that's why it took an angel to reveal it to both Mary and Joseph. The angel made it clear to Joseph that the conception of this child was the work of God, and God had a great work planned for this child. And that leads to the imminent salvation in this child. Verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name is important for the work he had to do as a savior. The name this child was to be given was to reflect the mission the child had been given. So Joseph was to call him Jesus, literally Joshua. In Hebrew, Joseph would have heard Yahshua, the name meaning a savior, one who saves. The Lord saves. Because just as Joshua of the Old Testament led Israel out of the wilderness of the desert and into the wonderful promised land of Canaan, so this Joshua, the true Joshua, that the original Joshua looked forward to, will lead all of his people, Jews and Gentiles, out of the wilderness of sin and into the promised land of God's ultimate and eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This child was God's long-awaited Messiah. This was the moment that the entire Old Testament looked forward to. All the prophecies pointed to. Everything from the Garden of Eden pointed to this coming of this one. That was the angel's point. He's it, Joseph. The Messiah is here. He is in the womb of your wife Mary. So into Mary's and Joseph's unsettling situation, the angel comes with this incredible consolation, and Matthew then interjects to tell us this is Emmanuel's revelation. Verses 20 to 23, 22 through 23. Now all this took place. This is Matthew writing this in. To fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means, wonderfully, God with us. Amen. Amen. Foretold over 7 centuries before. Now you talk about good news. An angel of God appearing to tell you what you all your life knew to be true, what you all your life had been looking forward to, Joseph, the prophecy is fulfilled. Emmanuel is here. God with us has come. I will expand on all of this next Sunday in Sunday school, but let me give you some points on God with us. God with us in the embodied expression of Himself, John 1, 14 and 18. If you don't get all the references written down, that's okay. Just come to Sunday school. I'll have them all there. John 1, 14 and 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained or expressed him. He has revealed him. God with us in the embodied expression of himself. God with us in the embodiment of his deity. Colossians 1, 15 through 17 and 19 and 2:9. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. God with us in the embodiment of his radiance and nature. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Which leads to God with us embodied in the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Philippians 2, 6 through 11. You hear these words every business meeting. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or clung to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Why? So that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. God with us. All that wrapped up in Emmanuel. That leads us to the last point. Joseph's immediate consecration. Verses 24 and 25. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. So he consecrated Mary as his wife. That's quite the turn, isn't it? You talk about a man of faith, right? He knew that that angel was not just a figment of his imagination. The angel had made it clear, this is not just a vision coming out of your, you know, you ate something a little off for dinner, and, you know, your mind's just playing tricks on you. The angel made it clear, this is real. I'm here. I've got your attention. Let me tell you the truth of God. And Joseph believed him. You know, you think about the odds he had to go against to do that. That angel had not appeared to anybody else. You think about Joseph's family. I think about Mary's family too. How difficult that had to be for her parents. The stigma in the neighborhood. But think about Joseph's family. Son, you're out of your mind. I mean, it's one thing for her to tell a lie. It's another thing for you to believe it, son. I mean, really. Think about the things he must have been hearing. And against all that grain, against the grain of what had to be public opinion, not only on the streets, but in his own household, he said, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to take her as my wife. And it was a command. He understood it. It was a step of obedience in faith. But he knew it wasn't about him. Right? This is about someone much larger than him. It was about Jesus as God's son, which leads to his immediate consecration of him. Verse 25, but kept her, Mary, a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You know why Joseph could stand in faith against that grain, against the tide of public opinion that had to be against them as those young teenagers? You know why he could take her as his wife? Just not even fully knowing how all of this was going to play out. He didn't have all the answers of how it would all work out, guys. The angel didn't line out every step for him to take. He just gave him the big picture. He didn't give him all the details. Do you know why he could take that step of such faith against everyone else? Because he knew it wasn't about him. He believed God, and he believed who God had sent. It was about Jesus. It wasn't about Joseph. So it was not just a step of faith, it was a step of some sacrifice too. He kept her a virgin. You know what stands out in my mind as a husband? He put aside his rights, didn't he? What did he ever have every right to do with his wife to consummate their marriage? And it's very clear that in his mind, he's thinking, I will in no way jeopardize the understanding of what God is doing here. So here are my rights as a husband. I set those aside. I'll take her as my wife, but I will not take her as my wife until this child is born. That just gets all over me. The selflessness of the man to put her out there to take care of her and then to put this unborn child who he believed to be the actual Son of God where he belonged on that pedestal that he deserves. To say, I will preserve the understanding of who this is and the way I go about this. And he called his name Jesus, just like the angel said. You know, isn't that amazing that God put in his hands as the husband, as the stepdad, God put it in his hands to name his son. Yes, he sent the instruction through the angel. Yes, it was a command of the Lord through the angel of the Lord. But who actually named him? Mary didn't. The angel didn't. Joseph did. His stepdad did. He named him Jesus in believing who he really is. What a man. As I wrap this up this morning, those that were asking, where is God, had their answer in that baby. Mary believed that. Joseph believed that. We should believe that. Those that are asking that question now in skepticism and suffering and guilt, whatever the situation is that they find themselves in, whatever prompts them to wonder, where is God in all of this? Like the woman I told you about in Sunday school, the young lady I told you about when her life was just absolutely falling apart around her. That's what was thumping on her heart. Where is God? What does he want me to do? Where's the answer? It's in Emmanuel. Over and above everything else, the answer to the question, where is God? No matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter where we are in life, what phase of life, what stage of life, sickness and health, prosperity and in want, the answer to the question of where is God is Emmanuel. Guys, Emmanuel is the headline of Christmas. Emmanuel is the single headline of Christmas. should be hung up, held up over everything else. Emmanuel is the outcry of the church to a world of people separated from God. The lost, the truth of the lost is that they are separated from God. We put out the call of the gospel, calling them to turn, to repent, and put their faith in Christ. For what? To be reconciled to God. So to the world, to the people that are separated from Him, our outcry is Emmanuel. God with us in Him. Emmanuel means we celebrate more than the miraculous birth of a cute little baby. Right? Emmanuel means we celebrate the miraculous incarnation of our magnificent God to be with us in the saving of us from our sin. In that Savior, God with us. Emmanuel is our promise from God to never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus, as He assures us, I am what? With you. Always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. Thank you, Lord. I close with 1 John 5:20. We know such assurance. We know that the Son of God has come. Do you know that this Christmas? We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Merry Christmas. Absolutely. So you make sure when you leave here today, heading into your Christmas week, that this is your conviction. The Son of God has come. And He has come to give you understanding so that you may know Him who is true, because all others are false. You go knowing that you are in Him who is true. You make sure today that you are not outside of Him, that you're in His Son, Jesus Christ. That when you look at Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, you can say with that assurance, this is the true God and my eternal life. Amen. Lewis?